Want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning as well. Welcome each one to worship with us. Appreciate what we've heard. This morning I'd like to speak about an account that's familiar to all of us, I'm sure. But it's something that's unprecedented and unique in the history of humankind. Nothing has ever happened like that before or happened like that since. And it's totally stands by itself in a category of human events. And that's the story of Jonah. Now let's turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah is just four chapters long. I'd like to read the first chapter here. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah had gone down into the sides of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. What kind of man was Jonah? What do we know about Jonah? How would you describe the character of Jonah? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Anybody? Excuse me? He was passionate, okay. What else? I think Jonah must have been a very strong man in a lot of ways. And a man that was wise in some respects, beyond the normal. And also a man that was foolish in some respects, beyond the normal. One of the things that is interesting to me is the fact that he says, when we come to the end of the story, he says, I knew, God, that you were going to do that. You were going to be gracious and merciful. He didn't want to go to the Ninevites because the Assyrians were the arch enemies of Israel. They were a people that had a history of being cruel and brutal to their enemies. Things that they would do, they would dismember, they would torture, they would burn alive their captives. And God is telling Jonah to go and to preach to them. And Jonah's message was not one that Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That wasn't Jonah's message. Jonah's message was, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And he was a man that was full of, he didn't have any love for the people that he was preaching to. And there he goes. And then the thing that makes it so interesting is that he fled from the presence of the Lord. How many of your children think that that's possible? You think it's possible to flee from the presence of the Lord? How many adults think it's possible to flee from the presence of the Lord? I don't think that's possible. Jonah thought it was possible. And Jonah tried it. And so instead of going to Nineveh, he went exactly the opposite direction. According to one commentator here, he says Jonah had about 500 miles to go. And he went as far as he could possibly go the other direction or he was intending to. But it says here that God sent a big wind upon the sea, and the ship, it was so strong that the ship was about to be broken, and the people were so desperate that they started throwing out the stuff out of the sea, out of the ship, they threw their cargo out, and possibly their own utensils and tools and so on. You know that has to be very desperate. We read about the shipwreck of Paul, and when it got right down to the wire, they were throwing things overboard that were very important, but their effort was to just save their lives, and that's how desperate this situation was. They were throwing things out that were valuable, but it was an effort to save their life. But where was Jonah? Jonah was down in the bottom of the ship sleeping. Now, that makes me think he must have been a strong man because he wasn't afraid. He was comatose too, so he didn't know what was going on. But at least it's interesting that he was there sleeping and everybody else was desperate. And then the other thing so the shipmaster came to him in verse 6 and said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God and see if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation? Whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and what people art thou?" Lots of questions in a hurry. I can just sense the desperation in the urgency and the questions that they were asking. They were trying to get to the bottom of this quick. And so they were asking all these questions, and Jonah replied. And what he said put fear into their heart. He said, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land." And the men were exceeding afraid, and they said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. And they said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." And they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceeding, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, that's a tremendous story. There is Jonah. Again, his strength comes out when the lot fell upon him, and he was pronounced guilty, or he conceded that he was guilty, and they asked him what to do. He said, "Take me and throw me into the water." Now, none of us would voluntarily ask to be pitched into the sea, in an angry sea like that. And yet, Jonah had to, he knew that he was the culprit. And maybe there were other reasons that going through his mind. In Psalms 139, it says something about, "If I go to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there you are." And it's interesting that there is nowhere to get away from the presence of the Lord. And maybe Jonah is finding that out. But here he said, "Take it, do this, and the sea will be calm." Well, he was right. They didn't want to, but they did. Eventually they grabbed a hold of him, pitched him overboard, and the sea just quieted down. And it was calm. And there it was. But that wasn't the end of Jonah. It says the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then in chapter 2, we have one of the most interesting chapters, there where he is there, he's in his right mind, he's thinking, and he says some really astounding things. And just unheard of. Never happens. Never happened again. And yet there it is. And we have this story. One of my favorite verses, as you know, is Romans 15, verse 4, where it says, the things that happened aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What kind of learning, what kind of comfort, and what kind of hope do we have here in this story of Jonah? Well, there's more than what we're going to discuss this morning or cover this morning. But we have here Jonah praying out of the belly of the whale. And probably all of us have prayed in some miserable circumstances, but I doubt we have ever prayed in a circumstance that exceeded the miserableness of this one. It's just even difficult to think about how difficult that would be to be in the belly of a whale, and the stench and the smell and the goo and the grue and the gory and all that goes with that. And there he was. And he says, Jonah prayed unto the Lord and God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. That, you know, there's a number of things in this chapter, in this book, that are pretty understated. And this is one of them. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Now, I would have a few more words than mine affliction to say about this. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and the billows over, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I don't know if Jonah had a sense of direction where he was, if he was physically thinking he's going to see the temple again. I don't know what his thoughts were. But anyhow, his thoughts are turned toward God. And it's very interesting what he says. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depths closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord God. He talks, I think, the only place in Scripture when it talks about the bottoms of the mountains. Can you imagine? Jonah was a poet even way back then. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, and then unto thine holy temple, that thou observed thy lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Another unprecedented event. There was this big fish carrying Jonah around for 3 days and three nights and coming up. How close would it have to get to land to actually vomit him out on dry land? And, you know, unless it was hugely unusual, a lot more than Jonah was probably vomited out of this fish's mouth. And it's just unreal. That we have this story here. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. We learned a song when we were little about God doesn't force anybody to go to do what he makes them willing. And I think we have this is a case in point. God didn't force Jonah to go, but he made him willing, and it took some pretty serious means to do that. But there he said, to go preach the words that I speak, and he says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And this is the message that we have of Jonah. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Where did Jonah get his credibility? Why would somebody listen to what he has to say with just saying just a message of warning, a message of judgment? Why would they listen to what he has to say? There's a number of reasons I can think of that people wouldn't, but these people did. And maybe it was the way he smelled. Maybe it's what he said. Maybe somebody even suggested that the acid in the fish's belly would have made his skin a chalky white, which would have been easy to believe. And maybe that's why the sun was so difficult for him later in life too there. But, you know, when this man is saying what he experienced and how, and that he's, you know, I don't know what all he said. All we have here is that Jonah said that in 40 days Nineveh is going to be destroyed, and the fact that he was happy about that idea, maybe that added some weight to his word as well. But that was his word. He said 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And it says in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Here's another part where it's really, really understated. They believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him in sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn everyone away and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? You know, this is just it's just something that hasn't happened. Here's a city of 3 days' journey, it says, and according to that, that would be about 60 miles. So if we would go straight from here to Summersville, that would be about 60 miles of city. And we would be, and Jonah would be crying. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And the people, all the way from the least to the greatest. And somebody says, and there's been estimates that this must have been about 600,000 people. They go by the fact that it says 120,000 children in there, what God says. 600,000 people, and all of them, the king says, even the animals aren't allowed to drink water. Everybody's in sackcloth and ashes and turning from their wicked ways. And it wasn't just putting on sackcloth and ashes, but it says in verse 10, it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. You know, there it is. Another verse that is really, really understated. There was a tremendous thing going on here. 600,000 people from the king down to the children, to the animals, were sitting in sackcloth and ashes, were repentant, had turned from their wicked ways. How do we know they turned from their wicked ways? Well, the Bible says it here. And they had turned to God, and maybe they knew something of God too. I believe that goes along with the verse that it says in Romans that even in nature, there is things written about God that is available for those that that to know, for the people to know about God. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, I don't think there should be a disconnect between the last verse, chapter 3, and the first verse of chapter 4, because it continues the same thought. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Now, that's the only time, I think, in history that we have a story of a prophet who was 100% successful and was not happy about it. Here he was. There was 100% success, and he was not happy. And it says, "It displeased him exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee into Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." The thing that's interesting about this, the Jonah's own personal testimony here, is that he also had experienced that gracious kindness from God. Here he was given a commission. He turned his back to the Lord, tried to run away from his presence. God stopped him with a storm. He stopped him with a fish. Jonah was in that miserable condition, and God delivered him and was gracious and merciful to him. And yet, now when he sees this happening to other people, he's saying he's angry about it because this is his enemy. Verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou do well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd." I just think this is just an incredibly interesting story. Here Jonah, instead of going back to Israel and proclaiming how that the Ninevites had repented and turned to God and rejoicing in the fact and taking this to his fellow men and rejoicing in the fact that they had turned to God, he sits there, still wanting their destruction and hoping that this is what he would witness. And while he's sitting there, maybe he is in his pasty, chalky white skin and the sun is beating down on him, and God makes this gourd to grow and giving him shadow, giving him shade. When you're in a sun-drenched country, every little bit of shade is really, really important. And this made Jonah exceedingly glad, it says, for the gourd. But in verse 7 it says, "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself that he to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" You know, this is the only book that I know of that ends in a question mark. But there it is. There's the story. Jonah went to Nineveh. The people repented. And Jonah was displeased with that. And he took his words out to the Lord, to God again, and asked that he could die. He's just so wrapped up in himself that he didn't like to see the prosperity of the wicked ones. Well, the story goes on. You know, Nineveh eventually came back to carry away Israel into captivity. A number of years later, they again, the fact that Israel was God's chosen people didn't help them to stay with God all the time. You know, here was a heathen nation, a pagan nation that turned to God, and God rewarded them and blessed them and gave them many more years of prosperity. And while his own people, while God's chosen people were actually carried away by the Assyrians and later. But in this book, we have some very important points that are good for us today. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. One is that we see God as the creator of heaven and earth. We see God as being able to make circumstances that come to accomplish his will. We see God as a God of mercy and of loving kindness, even to people that do not obey and are not obedient to his will. And they also are extended, they can get his mercy. But we also see a God of judgment that will not allow wickedness to continue forever. And that was Jonah's call, was a cry of judgment. God is going to overthrow this city in 40 days. He really wanted it to happen, I believe. But God was merciful and didn't. So we see few chapters here, we see the gospel story here as well. We see God as creator, and we see that man has sinned and departed from God. We see a man repenting, and we see God being merciful to him again, and man enjoying his blessings there. And we do that through Christ. Christ is not like Jonah, except for one case that he referenced. He referenced himself as being in the belly of the earth, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. But because of Christ, we can have our salvation as we heed his message. And his message is relevant to us today. But no one in the history of mankind was so successful as Jonah, and yet there he was, an unhappy man. And I'm sure there's so many lessons that we can learn. He saw some of the attributes of God that most people didn't see, as being of merciful and kind, and yet God was, he experienced that in his own life as well. Another interesting story about a prophet in the story of Nathan in 2 Samuel. There we have a very much of a contrast. We have a godly man, Nathan the prophet, in the story of David's life. God sent him to reprove David of a very grievous sin. And there was one man, one prophet, and one person in his audience. And the word of the Lord came to Nathan to talk to David, and he went with his parable. And I don't want to turn to that necessarily, but I'd like to contrast the way the two people came. Jonah came to the Ninevites with a word of judgment. There wasn't even a call to repent there, really. It's just that in 40 days God is going to destroy the city. And sometimes we give credibility to those that, and the Bible tells us that we should speak to one another, speak the truth in love. Well, Jonah did not speak the truth in love. He spoke the truth in hate, maybe, or some other thing, but he was effective. His message was true because it was from God. And so maybe sometimes we overemphasize the fact that we need to come in love. And I think that's important that we do that, because if we don't come in love, we are really shooting ourselves in the foot. And yet, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we know the truth and that we obey the truth, however it's given unto us. And so the prophet Nathan came to David with a real concern. He came in love. David heard and he obeyed. And there was, and his repentance we have chronicled in the Psalm 51, where he made his prayer unto God, and we can see real, true repentance. If there's ever a psalm that we want to look at when they're talking about repentance, we go to Psalm 51. And that was a result of Nathan the prophet coming to him and coming with his story about the rich man and the poor man coming. And he raised David's indignation, and David said, "The man that does that is surely going to die." And then Nathan said, "You are the man." You know, it came very direct and very pointed, and David realized that that is from God, and he repented, just like the Ninevites did. He didn't have someone coming to him with judgment and hate and warning. Or he had warning there, but he didn't have judgment and hate mixed in there like Jonah did to the Ninevites. But he repented. And so this morning, the message to us is that when truth is given to us, we don't have to base our response on whether it was given in love or whatever. And you know, I'll say many times that a minister, and not a minister, I often use messages that I need myself. And so this morning, my desire is that I would sense the truth of God's word, however it comes, whether it's given in love, whether it's given whatever motive, that if there's something for me to learn, that I would learn that and repent and turn to the Lord with all my heart and be in His service, do what He wants me to do. And I believe that that's the message here that is given to us in the book of Jonah. Jonah should have been totally ineffective, and yet he was not, because the people heard. In spite of the fact that he didn't love them, wasn't concerned for their safety. He would have loved to see them destroyed, and yet, because he had the word from the Lord, and because they obeyed, God turned His wrath from them, and made them successful. And so, I believe it is with us today. I believe that Old Testament scripture. I remember in the year 1980. When Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, that he used that in his inauguration address, that verse in 2 Chronicles 7:29, where it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." And probably that's a good verse, defense for us this week. In our Sunday school class, we discussed the coming election and what we're going to say when people ask us if we're going to vote. This is what we can say. Just like it says there in the scripture, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. I think that applies today as well as any other time in life. So today, Jonah is not just a story to take up space, but it's a story there to teach us a lesson that God's word is true. However it's given, it will come to pass.